The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits. But the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. Amen.
Amen.
It was a beach a lot like the beach just down the hill from us. It was a sunny April day a while back. I remember it perfectly. We had taken our annual youth group trip from Oakland to Aptos, just south of Santa Cruz. Every year we did this, we crammed 30 youth or more into a little beach shack for a weekend. We talked about faith, we sang together, we played shaving cream wiffle ball, which I will explain to you another time. But the highlight, the irresistible highlight, after being stuck inside all Saturday morning talking about faith, we got to unlock the doors and let the kids go out Saturday afternoon for free time on the beach. And the energy that was unleashed on that beach was astounding that day and every. Now, we had to hold the tide back for one more moment right before unlocking the doors. I mean, we didn't literally lock them in. That would maybe have been unsafe. The highlight before letting them loose was a safety talk. At that point, I was a young adult. I was a Boy Scout lifeguard, and so it fell to me to sort of talk about the P's and the Q's. Did you ever get this lesson growing up? My grandmother took us to the beach all the time when I was a kid. And the first thing she taught us, from as far back as I can remember learning, you know, getting into the ocean, the first thing she taught us was, never turn your back on the ocean. Because you never know what's going to come. It's fun, it's joyful, but it's also a little bigger than you are. So just be careful. Over time, layers got added to this. Pay attention to where you are and where the people you came with are, so that if the tide moves you up the coast 100 yards, you know how to get back. Or if you're down the coast 100 yards, you know how to get back. So I gave that talk, just as I always had. You stay out of the sun if you feel lousy, drink some water, put some suntan lotion on. But this one year, about 20 years ago, a few kids got into trouble, unfortunately. They were out boogie boarding. They were having a lot of fun. They weren't exactly paying attention to what was going on. And they got caught into a riptide and started getting pulled out a little further than they were comfortable with. Now, they were yelling at us, and we realized that something was amiss. So we started yelling back at them. Now, listen, I just want to have this public service moment right now. A riptide is a narrow little tide that draws water away from the shore very, very quickly with a good amount of power. If you don't know this, you really should. If you are stuck in a riptide, if you feel yourself pulling away, getting pulled away from the shore, no matter how hard you swim into the shore, you must not swim towards the shore. It seems so counterintuitive. Swimming into the shore will just exhaust you. Riptides are very narrow, and so all you have to do is swim sideways, parallel with the beach, maybe 50 yards, 100 yards. You'll be out of the riptide, and you can swim back. And in fact, the tide usually is strong enough to just carry you back into the shore. The way people get in trouble, as these kids did, is by swimming into the riptide, exhausting themselves. So they were yelling, they were screaming, we were yelling at them, swim sideways, they couldn't exactly understand us. My boss was up at the house and had pressed 9 and had pressed 1 and was about to press the other 1. As we were getting to the beach, we hit the water running in up to our knees, ready to jump in to swim out to help them. And it was only by luck and grace that the prevailing waves kept pushing them sideways a little more and a little more. And as soon as they kind of got to the edge of the riptide, they started making a little better progress. They got back to the shore safely. My boss was able to not dial that final one, and she hung up the phone. I don't know if you know this, but when you dial 911, at least then, if you dial the 9 and the 1 and hang up, they call you back because they want to know what happened. But luckily, we were able to say everything's okay. We have these kids, they were drawn out, but they got back. They're exhausted, they're scared, but they're safe, thank God. Now, I had grown up around water, so it was easy for me to give the safety talk. Really, they had grown up around water too, and they knew kind of what was what, and just in a moment, they got overwhelmed, they got scared. And I don't know if they had forgotten or if it just happened to them, but they learned the ocean is a wonderful, fun place, but it can be a little risky too. In fact, I think the ocean, for me, is a defining place. Growing up in Oakland, it was always this place of orientation. I knew exactly where north was and exactly where south was. I knew as long as I stood with the ocean, the bay over there, I could kind of make my way around. And do you see, I mean, this is intuitive. Do you see how I'm standing as I'm talking about over there? I'm not standing this way and talking about over there. It's like a compass for me to know that it's over there and that up there and down here sort of get put in right order just because of where water is. Now I sailed, I rowed, I swam, I took part in all the water around me. And so it became defining, not just a sense of direction, but a way of reading which way the weather was going to come from, a sense of context and orientation that came all from this water around us. And some of the people I grew up with were like this too. They used sayings that belied a nautical background. They made sense of the world in that context. So it was true that when I went to college in the Midwest, I was disoriented for a while. There's all this land around you. What do you do? There's as much land that way as there is that way. Which way is one way or another? How do you get a sense of north or south or anything like that? And similarly, when I moved to the East Coast, everything seemed backwards. The sun rose over the water. That doesn't make any sense. The sun set over the buildings. What good is that? It was aggravating. The first week that I was in Jacksonville, I had an east-facing window in the bedroom, and of course it lit up at 6 o'clock in the morning because the sun was beaming right into it, and I thought, what is this? This is not natural for sure. But I was compelled to go out and look at it. A sunrise over the water is beautiful. A sunset over the water is transformative, I think. But maybe that's just where I'm from. So water became this innate thing to me in my life. An intuitive, familiar source of meaning, really something that oriented me in the world. I wonder if you have something like that. I wonder if you have some set of idioms, some experience that is so innate to you that it forms the way you look at the world. Now, we have lots of idioms we use, from sports to business. There are lots of common things that we talk about to express metaphors and similes and analogies. But I wonder if water, if the ocean, Isn't something like that for you too, living where we do in this beautiful bay? From surfing to junior lifeguards, from the beach mass to surfing Jesus, water is all around us, and it gives us this sense of meaning, this set of analogies that speak to us at a deep, deep level. Do you see how familiar water is to us here and now? Now, I ask you this question about what orients you and what metaphors make sense to you innately and deeply because of Jesus' words today. And I know it doesn't sound like it connects, but stick with me and we will get there. Jesus is very clear today. It's the first of two sets of readings in the Gospel of John where he talks about being the good shepherd. Did you hear it? He talks about being the good shepherd, about being the one who calls the sheep and who the sheep know his voice, recognize it innately. He talks about being the one who leads the sheep on in the right direction, home and to safety. Now, context is important in this reading, so I want to back up a little bit. Just before our text for today, Jesus is walking along. You've heard this reading a couple weeks ago. Jesus is walking along, and he sees a blind man. And the disciples sort of say, well, why is this man blind? What did his parents do wrong? And other people sort of cluck their tongues at this blind man. And Jesus has mercy, and he heals the blind man. The blind man is transformed by this. And of course, because it's the Sabbath, the Pharisees get upset. Jesus starts to talk about why he's here and who believes in him. And he goes into this diatribe, this long story about how he is the good shepherd. He's here to find people and grab them and take them home. Now, when he talks about being the good shepherd, he's using an idiom that everyone knew about, something that was familiar to everybody there. Everybody who was listening, the Pharisees, the disciples, the blind man, everybody standing around him, didn't just know conceptually what a shepherd was, they knew shepherds, and most of them probably were shepherds. So I'm going to ask this question. Does anybody here know a shepherd, personally? I realized in asking this question at 8 o'clock that I actually do know a shepherd. It's embarrassing. I thought no one would know a shepherd. For sure no one would know a shepherd. It turns out I know a shepherd. I'm family friends with the public defender of San Luis Obispo County, and he and his wife own a little farm, and they have sheep, which makes them shepherds. But I don't know any other shepherds. You know a shepherd too, Carla? My goodness. Someone at the 8 o'clock knew a shepherd too, and so it was like, there goes that analogy. But I think it's still compelling to know that even if you know what a shepherd is, and I know what a shepherd is, I'm sure of that, to talk innately about what a good shepherd is hard. In those days when Jesus was talking, they didn't just get this idea of what a good shepherd was. They had rankings in their head. Well, you know, John's a pretty good shepherd. He really can get the flock together, but he always loses one. Jesus on the other one. Man, Jesus will go find that lost sheep. He's a good shepherd, you know. They had rankings. They had an idea of what it took, of the subtleties of these things. Sheep and shepherds were something everyone knew. And so when Jesus was talking, was saying something to them, he was saying something that makes sense to us, but he was saying something that was innate to them, something that was intuitive, a familiar source of meaning, which is why I asked you about the water. So run with me a little further. Just try this out. Jesus is walking along, as he always does, and he sees a blind man. And the disciples wonder whether he's blind because of his parents or not. And Jesus talks with him and heals him. It's, of course, on the Sabbath, and so the Pharisees get upset. And they ask him why he's doing this, and Jesus starts talking about who he is, truly. And he starts talking about why he's here. And he says, I'm the good lifeguard. Go with me. Jesus says, I am the good lifeguard. Other people ignore you when you need help, but I keep watch for everyone. Some people might even try and lure you into treacherous waters where there are riptides or rocks, but I am always watching, and I will always come. When the water gets a little overwhelming, when things get a little rough in the ocean, I will always come. People listen to me when I say that they have to come closer to the shore. People listen to me when I say that there is no roughhousing in the pool. People listen to my voice. Now, this is all well and good. It's an interesting transition of analogy and idiom. Maybe, I hope, it helps you get a different sense of what Jesus was saying at a deeper level, at an intuitive level. And that's all fun. That's all well and good. But where does it leave us? The question, as it is with every gospel reading, is the same. To understand it is one thing, but what do we do in response to it? How do we move forward? How do we walk out the door later? It seems to me there are two responses that we have to Jesus' message, whichever idiom you like to use. The first is very easy. The first response is that Jesus is compelling us to trust in him, that Jesus will keep us safe no matter what. We must listen to him. We must follow him. We can enjoy the world around us, whether it's a paddock or the ocean. It's beautiful. It's fun. But maybe we have to follow his lead to avoid some of the troubles of the world. And it is good to know that Jesus is sitting on the shore or sitting in the paddock, comforting us. That message of following Jesus is a good one. It is foundational to Christianity. And maybe, if you want a second one, run down the road with me a little bit more. There is an imperative, too, in what Jesus is saying. He is saying to trust him. He's saying to follow him. But he's also saying to act like him. We can model our lives on Jesus. If Jesus is the good lifeguard, we can become strong swimmers. We can learn CPR. We can reach out to the people who need help in the ocean. Because the truth is that there are many, many people swimming in the ocean these days. And there are some fun coves where there's nothing but joy. But there are other tougher waters to swim in, places where people feel a little overwhelmed by the water or even feel a little lost at sea. And our call, if we choose to be lifeguards like Jesus, is to swim out into the ocean and help those people like Jesus helps us. And that is pretty good work. Amen.